Peace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And thank you to the choir, that was beautiful this morning. Well, good morning and welcome to Sunday morning worship here at St. Paul's in Mulgay. If you're visiting with us for the first time, then you are warmly welcomed. And please do stay after the service, where tea and coffee is actually going to be served to you at tables with cakes. We are raising money this morning for our missionary, Lorna Ferguson, who is in Japan with her family. So if you could stay after the service and help us to raise some money for Lorna and the amazing work that she does in Japan, that would be wonderful. Well, this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the Spirit of God coming for the first time to the early followers of Jesus. And we remember too that God's Spirit is with us now. So we'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn 582, O Day of Joy and Wonder, Christ's promise now fulfilled, the coming of his Spirit, the Father's love he willed. Before we come to approach God in prayer, it's good to be reminded that we can come with confidence, knowing that God hears and accepts our prayers. And we don't need to be concerned if we don't know how or what to pray, for God's Spirit is right here with us, praying in and for us, making prayers sometimes of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. For he knows us better than we know ourselves. So let's come together in prayer, knowing that the Spirit is with us. Let us pray. God of wind and fire, on this Pentecost Sunday we are more aware than ever of our deep need for you. It's true, we do not always know how to pray. We do not know how to form on our lips the words to express the prayer that lingers on in our hearts. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, comforter, teacher, inspiration, and translator of every soul's deepest needs. So we come in prayer confessing to you all that we know is not from you and not part of your plan for our life. Guide and bless us all today. Free us from whatever safeguards we have placed around us to keep our lives and worship predictable. Free us to encounter you in a new way, that your Spirit might truly dance in the midst and inspire us to love and inspire us to service in Christ's name. And we pray that your Spirit will be with Fergus as he brings us your holy word. May your light shine from what is preached to our hearts and minds this morning. God bless us as we enter into Spirit-filled worship with you. And as our Saviour taught us, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. Nice to see you. And nice to see some of you wearing T-shirts this morning, because it's been T-shirt weather, hasn't it? That's what we call it. When we were down in England a couple of weeks ago, oh, the weather was lovely. The sun was shining very, very strongly. And as I was wandering around Primark, as is my wont, that's a great place to go, Primark. And the shorts and the T-shirts were flying off the shelves and the hangers, everybody preparing for the nice weather. Of course, there was a change after a few days, but it's nice to be able to wear less clothes and to enjoy the warmth and the brightness. And I'm just like everyone else. You know, I like to do that as well. And during the week there, just at the beginning of the week, I was sent down to Tesco to do some shopping. You know, I like to get these. I'm not sponsored by Primark or Tesco, by the way, but we just happened to be there. And I was down in Tesco, and I was wearing my T-shirt and my shorts. I mean, I don't always dress like this, you understand. I was wearing my T-shirt and my shorts. I went to the checkout, and the girl who was at the checkout, the young lady who was at the checkout, she starts to chatter to me, and I wasn't very clear what she was talking about. And eventually, the penny dropped. It takes me a wee while these days, but the penny dropped. She was talking to me about the new Avengers movie. Do you know about the Avengers? Have you seen it? What's it called? Infinity War, that's right, that's the new. And she was talking to me about this Avengers movie, and I was kind of a wee bit bewildered by this. And then she said, have you seen it? And I said, well, no, actually, I haven't seen it yet, you know. And I'm still, why is she talking to me about the Avengers? So I gathered together everything that I had to gather, and I was walking out the door, and then it dawned on me why she was speaking to me about the Avengers movie. It was because of my T-shirt. It was because of my T-shirt. Now, who would wear a T-shirt like this in the Avengers? This is a group of superheroes, by the way, who like to stand up for justice and everything that's good. Now, which one of them would wear this, do you think? Hands up. Yes? Captain America. He's one of my favourites. Is Captain America. And it was actually somebody in the church that bought me this. I'm not dropping hints, folks. It's just that I feel really encouraged that somebody thinks I'm cool enough to wear something like this. You know, that's really. So it was because I was wearing my Captain America T-shirt that the girl on the checkout, she just thought, oh, he must have seen Infinity War. And you can see that she was quite disappointed, because I had that kind of daft look about me. And she was really quite disappointed. She probably thought he doesn't know that he's wearing a Captain America T-shirt. But anyway, you know, it got me thinking. I mean, if we're followers of Jesus, okay, and we're all followers of Jesus, and we don't necessarily wear T-shirts, but if people know that we come to church, and if they know that we come to the Sunday club, if they know that we're trying to learn more about Jesus and to live like Jesus, then if we don't do that, then they're going to be disappointed. You know, the girl at the checkout, she just thought, he must have seen Infinity Wars. And she was disappointed because I hadn't. And if people know that we are followers of Jesus, and we're not kind, and we're not generous, and we're not willing to help people whenever they're in need, then they'll be disappointed in us. And we can't have that because, you know, they might even become disappointed in Jesus. And that's the way his followers behave. Not kind, not generous, not helpful. Then maybe we don't think much of him either. And that would be really, really sad. So, let's not disappoint people. Let's not let them down. They think that we are going to be good and kind and generous and helpful. And that's the best way for us to show that we are followers of Jesus. And there's a verse in the hymn that we're about to sing now. Without your help, we fail our Lord. This is us praying to the Holy Spirit. We cannot live his way. We need your power. We need your strength, following Christ each day. Let's sing this together now. Spirit of God, unseen as the wind. Before we read God's word together, friends, we'll remain seated and sing together. Holy Spirit, hear us. Help us while we sing. Let's read together in God's Word in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, at verse 1. Acts chapter 2, at verse 1, and this is on page 1093 in the Pew Bible. Luke's account of the day of Pentecost when the Spirit came to the believers in Jerusalem. Acts 2 at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thanks be to God for his word. And we turn again to the gospel according to John. John chapter 16 at verse 5. John 16 at verse 5. And this is page 1084 in the Pew Bible. John 16 at verse 5, the words of Jesus shortly before his death on the cross. Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from me what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Thanks be to God for his word, and may he give us grace to lay hold on his truth. We sing together now, O Holy Dove of God descending. Now let us pray. God our Father, we rejoice in that ancient image of your people gathered together in one place and your Spirit coming to them to enable them to be faithful witnesses in their own time. And we ask that your Spirit would be working in each one of us now to create those resources that we need to shine as a light in the darkness, which is Jesus' great aspiration for us. We pray that the light will burn brighter as we open ourselves now to your word. Amen. Well, it has been a nice spell of weather, as they say, and I've listened to so many people telling me what a difference it makes to them when the sun is shining and there's a wee bit of heat about the place. It just makes you feel as if you get more energy. Isn't that right? It kind of lifts your mood just a wee bit, and in some way makes you feel a wee bit more optimistic about life. It's good when the sun shines. And you know, sometimes that a certain kind of company can do that for you. If you're feeling a wee bit down, you go and see a certain person or perhaps a group of people. And it's a great encouragement to you. You leave their company feeling a wee bit lighter within yourself and perhaps a bit more able to face the challenges that are falling to you. And there are books and movies and pieces of music that can do that for you as well. You know, if you just open up the cover or you pop something on the player or put a CD on your hi-fi and suddenly you just feel a bit the better for it. I have a pal who, whenever he's feeling a wee bit down, puts on Casablanca on his player. Just the sight of Ingrid Bergman just seems to do it for him. There are various ways that we can experience changes within ourselves. And of course, there are those passages of scripture that never seem to fail us. We all know that sometimes opening up our Bibles can be hard work. But there are certain passages which always seem to have a profound effect upon us. And the account of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is one of those passages which always seems to hit the spot as far as I'm concerned. That great story of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the believers, perhaps only about 120 of them at this point, but the Spirit comes to them and the world is never the same again. And we really need to expose ourselves to passages of scripture like this, because in the Western world today, the experience of being in the church can often be an experience of disappointment, of disheartenment, of discouragement. But if we can open up our Bibles and be reminded that God has given us the gift of His Holy Spirit, then surely that is something that can lift our spirits, lighten our mood, clarify our vision as we seek to be faithful in our own time. It occurred to me as I was getting ready for this morning, friends, that the Holy Spirit of God was given to His church not just to keep them ticking over, not just to help them to keep their heads above water. The Holy Spirit of God was given to His church to energize them for mission, to enable them to proclaim the wonders of God, which so many people from all over the world heard in their own languages on that day. And also to show the love of Jesus in everyday life. Something that these people were very, very good at. That is why the Holy Spirit of God has come to us. And all of that is here in this passage that we shared together earlier. And in what these people experienced and how the vision was clarified and how the way forward was more sure to them. What they had on the day of Pentecost was what we nowadays might call a multi-sensory experience. Because they heard things. And they saw things. And things happened to them that stayed with them to the end of their lives and which they reflected upon whenever they came up against the challenges of these early days. And let's start with what they heard. Because it seemed to me on that day that they heard the sound of power. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now I'm sure we all know what it's like to be sitting at home in the comfort of our homes and there's a storm raging outside. There's a violent wind blowing and we start to think about the bins and how they might be toppled over. We start to think about the trees that were looking a wee bit fragile in the garden, how they might be flattened. And what about these slates on the roof? Maybe some of them are going to come flying off. Or the wind can be a very destructive thing. But when you look at the wind in Scripture, very often what you find is that the wind is used as a symbol for the power of God and the power of God to save. Not just some kind of arbitrary demonstration of how great God is. But the power of God here to save. Remember the story of Noah. When the whole earth was covered in water. The whole earth was flooded. And we are told that it was a wind that blew back the waters of judgment and allowed renewal to take place. And you remember when there were plagues being visited upon the land of Egypt and there was a plague of locusts and it terrorized the people of Egypt until a wind was sent to carry the locusts away. And time again in the Psalms and in the prophets, we hear about the wind of God, the power of God, blowing away the chaff of wickedness. So that people can now begin to live according to the will of God. And Jesus himself, he spoke about the wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit, which is mysterious. But which is powerful to the extent that it can enable men and women to believe that they have been totally renewed in body, mind and spirit, born again. The wind of God blowing and bringing new life. And when we bring all of this together, what we see on the day of Pentecost is the Holy Spirit of God coming down upon the church and enabling the church to stand up against anything that is holding back the kingdom of God, sweeping away everything that isn't holy, everything that isn't true. And enabling men and women to stand against everything that would hold back the flow of God's will through human history. In a sense, you know, the coming of the Spirit on that day was pointing forward to that time when there will be nothing left that will stand against the kingdom of God. There is a sense in which the Spirit is pointing forward to that day. But what should always be in our minds and in our hearts, friends, is that the Holy Spirit is available now for us. And that it's possible for us to stand in the blast of the Spirit, the renewing blast of God's Holy Spirit, so that all the chaff is blown away from our lives. And there is revival within us and revival within the church. You know, the old hymn says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. The workings of the Spirit are mysterious, but this is what He does. Bringing renewing power into the lives of men and women like you and like me. And we know that this can happen now because of what the believers saw on the day of Pentecost. We've heard about what they heard. But what did they see? We're told that they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. Now, in the Old Testament, whenever there is light in the midst of a people, whenever there's fire in the midst of a people, that's a symbol of the presence of God in the midst of His people. And now what we're getting is an assurance in this phenomenon that happened in the day of Pentecost. What we're getting is an assurance that our God is not just the great big God who makes an awful lot of noise. When that light that appeared on the day of Pentecost split up and rested on each individual, that was an assurance that the Holy Spirit of God was with each one of these people, each one of that 120 as they were gathered together in that one place. That's what you have to imagine, a light appearing in their midst, and it split up and rested on each one who was gathered there in that moment. And I'm quite sure that perhaps some of them were a bit at a loss to know what was happening, but Peter, he knew exactly what was happening. He knew that this was the fulfillment of a prophecy that had been made hundreds of years before. When through the prophet Joel, God assured His people, I will pour out My Spirit on My people. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams, even on My servants. Even in those people that may be regarded as the lowest of the low in society. Even on My servants, both men and women, I will pour out My Spirit. And this is what was happening on that day. Men and women receiving the Spirit of God. And we have to understand that those people who were gathered in that one place in the day of Pentecost, they weren't used to thinking of the Holy Spirit at that personal level. They weren't used to thinking of the Holy Spirit in that inclusive level. As far as they were aware, the Holy Spirit was only given to kings and to priests, and to prophets, and to people who maybe had a huge task to undertake for God. But now they were given to understand that the Holy Spirit was their possession. You could put it another way and say they were given to understand that now they were the possession of the Holy Spirit. They were being empowered to be witnesses to Christ in their own time. They were destined to make a contribution to God's great project, which is to renew the whole earth. Now that 120 people or so, we know who some of them were. Many of them we don't know. But each one of them was given a gift from the Spirit whereby they could live the dream. Whereby they could embody the values of heaven. Whereby they could be the instruments through which other men and women came to know the story of Jesus. And they were pretty good at it. If the accounts and the Acts of the Apostles are true, we're told that every day there were new converts being drawn into the church because the Spirit had come, because these individuals were filled with the Spirit and they were clear with regard to their purpose. A purpose that first came upon them at Pentecost. And that's really what was the launching pad for mission in those early days. We've heard about the sound of power and the light of God's presence. But then came the filling of purpose. They each experienced themselves being filled with God's Holy Spirit. And then what happened? We're told that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were speaking in languages that were hitherto unknown to them. A strange thing to happen. And let's be quite clear that this wasn't just to give them some kind of spiritual kick. They were speaking in languages hitherto unknown to them. So that people from all over the world who had come to Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, so that these people could hear about the wonders of God. The first thing that happened when the Spirit came to these people was that they were given power to tell the story of Jesus. So that men and women could come to faith in Him. The first thing that happened that moved them out from the place where they were gathered together into the streets was that they were given power to share with everyone out there in the streets what God had been doing through His Son Jesus. You know, I mentioned last week about that documentary I'd been watching about a cult that had grown up in the desert of Oregon in the USA. This guru from India who gathered tens of thousands of people from all over the world to the extent that they actually set up their own town in the desert before it all imploded. Many of these tens of thousands were young folk. And we wonder about the radicalization of Muslim young people. How can that happen? Many of them very intelligent. How can intelligent young people be taken in by these gurus? Well, you know, it's a complex thing, but I'll tell you one thing that's absolutely certain. These young people, or whatever age they were, first of all, they heard a message. They heard a message which was presented to them by an impressive person who was absolutely committed to that message. who was able to show these people a way forward in life, who placed in their hands a key to understanding life according to one particular perspective. And when they used that key, the way was open for them to become more and more deeply involved in a way of life which in the end, morally and spiritually, was a shipwreck. Now what I'm working up to here is asking myself and asking you this morning, do we have the same confidence that these gurus have, that these radical Islamists have, do we have that same confidence to present our message? Knowing that the Holy Spirit of God will always be involved in truth. Do we have that same confidence to go to the world? And to show that in the midst of all the darkness that might fall upon minds and hearts, that Jesus is the way. And Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. Not long ago, a neighbor came to the door and said to me, "Is your power all right?" Well, that's a big question, isn't it? Of course, they talk about electrical power. And I switched on a few lights. Yeah, we're fine. Well, we don't have any power. So we wondered if there'd been some kind of power cut. But actually, it was something that was wrong in that particular house. And I just often wonder, friends, when we're talking about our loss of impact in the Western world. I always return to this one thing. There's nothing wrong with the source. There's nothing wrong with the source of our power. Maybe what it's coming down to is our confidence in the message itself. In our confidence that God has given us what we need in order to bring more and more people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just love that hymn that Charles Wesley wrote, "Jesus the Name High Over All," in which he ends up by saying, "His righteousness I show, His saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, Behold the Lamb." "'Tis all my business here below," says Wesley, "to cry, Behold the Lamb." As we focus once again on the main task, and realize that everything that we do in the church, whatever it is, always in the end should be sending out that message, "Behold the Lamb. Behold our Lord Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, the life. The one who reflects the very being of God. And who shows the way forward in a way that will end with all the chaff blown away, with a new creation and a place for all those who trust Him and who have sought to step into the flow of His will. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that you would visit us with your Spirit today. Enable us to have a vision of everything that we're doing in the church. In all aspects of this church's life. And everything that we are called to do within our family circle and amongst our friends. Perhaps duties that don't seem to be very spiritual to us, but they require faithfulness. They require integrity, patience. Lord, we pray that in all things we would be part of the great flow of your will. And that in the end, we would be seen to be among those who were faithful in their own time. And all for the glory of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing together now, friends. Holy Spirit, gift bestower, breathe into our hearts today.
Let us pray. Gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your good gifts. For you are the Lord who delights to bless your children. We thank you for that providence which shapes our lives. We thank you, gracious Father, for your daily provision for all our needs. And we thank you, gracious Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for him who came and moved over the waters and brought our earth into being. We thank you, gracious Father, for him who is the source of our life. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for him who instills courage in your people, that we might be witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the Spirit of comfort who comes to us in our troubles, the Spirit of peace who brings to us your rest. And we pray, gracious Father, that he would be in us the Spirit that forms the likeness of Jesus, that the beauty of Jesus might be seen in us, and that we might be part of that great work of your Spirit to bring the knowledge of Christ into this dark and darkening world. Heavenly Father, bless us as you have blessed your people of old, that we might be a witnessing and working church. And Father, we bring these our offerings before you, and we bring to you our thanksgiving for all of your goodness to us. We pray that you will receive them and be pleased to use them and bless them, that others too might be blessed, that others too might come to hear the good news of Christ. And gracious Father, as we ask these things, we pray for your church throughout the world. We remember your people who are in great need. We remember the hungry and the displaced, those who are lonely and afraid. We remember the forgotten children and those children who are abused. We remember a world in which there is so much grief and mourning. But we thank you, gracious Father, that your great purpose is a purpose of blessing and of joy. So, Heavenly Father, see your world in its suffering, and speed the day when Christ will come, our great Prince of Peace, the one who will reconcile all things, and the one who will gather his children to himself. Heavenly Father, be with us this day. Bless us in our fellowship together. Knit us together in the love of Christ. And may your word preached this morning in this place be a word that finds a place within our hearts to renew and to challenge and to equip and to inspire. And Father, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we sing our final hymn, friends, I have a note here from Alec McEwen, our Christian Aid convener, and it's to inform us that last week the Mogai churches raised £9,000 in the Christian Aid gathering, and this doesn't include gift aid. And a huge thanks is offered to all members of St Paul's who donated, delivered, collected and counted. The committee are very pleased with the effort. So we'll sing together now, friends. Come, Holy Spirit, come, inflame our souls with love. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forevermore.